Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's the 10th of September of 2019. The year is wrapping up.
You know, it is moving too fast. Seriously, this year started out, I'm like, oh, good. It seems like it's going to start off on a slow sequence. And then all of a sudden I turn around, it was June. What's up with that? Is it we're getting older? That's the old, yeah. As you get older. How does that work, by the way? Seriously. How is it that when you're a kid, it's like days from breakfast to lunch?
Yeah. Well, you need a lot more time when you're a kid because you got to learn the languages and the social skills and you're in learning mode and growing mode and you're growing, your cells are growing and getting bigger. When you're older, there's nothing, you don't even need to eat.
That is true. You know, I go to my father-in-law's home or his apartment where he's living in a kind of an assisted living situation. And he invites us for dinner and we sit down and we eat and they serve you first a salad. And the salad consists of a shred of lettuce, a half a tomato, a slice of cucumber, and a black olive. That's your opening salvo to the meal.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then you know, the next thing you get is like you walk away. You're like, can I have another portion of something? And you feel like a pig. But let's talk about what's going on with the markets. A little bit of the intro to the show. We have a Goldilocks situation. It seems going on. Not too bad. Not too good. The markets are happy with it. WeWork's valuation cut in half. The VIX back at 15. And I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but we're going to talk about the Volfefe Index.
Yeah.
And markets are back into quasi-rally mode with a hitch. Something interesting is actually happening. We saw that last week, the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average rallied pretty significantly. And that was good. We saw that off of that four-week kind of end of August lull in the markets where who knows, it was just because traders were out of the office. They were just thinking, hey, you know what? Let it go. Let it do its thing. Maybe somebody turned off a machine. I don't know. But they were back in rally mode. And once again, we have China back on, back off, back on, back off. But now the big news was that China actually came out with the statement. One of the things that we've been seeing is that when the Trump administration has been saying lately that, oh, we have something going on, it's like the boy who cried wolf. Nobody's exactly believing his China call or maybe the buying more agriculture. But when the South China Morning Post put something out, which is the mouthpiece of China.
Well, it's got a little more freedom than the typical mouthpiece of China.
But they do have a direct link.
Yeah. Well, everybody does.
So now there's somebody supposedly going to be at a meeting in October with nothing, of course, scheduled on the official calendar. But something's happening supposedly, and that helped markets really start moving up higher. And we're just about 2% below the all-time highs. It looks like there's a magnet towards the 3,000 level for the S&P 500. Pretty close, about 2% lower. But so here's the hitch I was telling you about. Over the last several days, there's been a really interesting turn of events. For the last 2 years, growth stocks have been significantly outperforming value stocks. Growth stocks are the high flyers, the momentum related, yeah. The technology.
Always a bad sign.
They've been incredible margin. I did a chart today for a presentation I'm doing this week, and we looked at the last several years. And there's like a 30% differential between the large cap growth and the large cap value stocks in the S&P 500. That's pretty unbelievable. Mm. So over the last several days, we've been seeing this all of a sudden out of nowhere, this turn of events where value is starting to pick up dramatically. And we're seeing that value has been really launching. And that has been to a degree where it was almost a 2% differential today in the small caps value versus growth. and over the last several days, probably about a 4% differential. That's a lot of movement,
I'd say.
So,
and what does this gold? What does Goldilocks mean?
Goldilocks is it's not too bad, not too hot, not too cold, just about right. Where market participants have the idea that, well, you know, it's not too bad where we have to sell stocks because if it gets a little bit worse, maybe the Fed will step in. It's not too good where the Fed will cut us off. So there's that constant idea that, oh, it's okay to buy stocks at this point. You know, an average GDP number, an okay employment number, you know, that whole thing is just, it's lukewarm. So therefore, it's green light for buying stocks.
Everything's a green light.
Everything's a green light, yeah. Just a green light out there. So, but the Goldilocks is where you don't have to worry too much about the economy overheating to a point where you're going to see some kind of fiscal restraint, which or monetary restraint by the Fed or by central banks. And if you don't have that, any concern about that, then the Fed always errs to the side of stimulating, at least over the last 15 years.
Yeah, well, that's what you want.
So we get these bloated stocks with major multiples getting just obliterated. I mean, and today there was some other news that hurt some of the media stocks even more. And you look at the names that came out with earnings, like the Slacks of the world or Roku just today and yesterday. These stocks were just on a tear upward. Nothing could stop these things. And now all of a sudden they're starting to turn. Some of that has to do with, I think, the idea that Congress is back in session. And they're going to be targeting the technology companies. They already put their claws into Google.
They haven't done anything.
Well, they're talking.
They're not going to do anything.
They're investigating.
Crap.
They're going to pull people in front of Congress.
I guess. You know, they'll do that.
Of
yes.
course, they're going to pull them in front of Congress and yell at them, and all those people that have the desire for the spotlight are going to get out there and say, find something. They're going to find something that somebody did wrong and say how awful it is to the entire country and our democracy. AOC. Yeah. AOC is going to be right in there.
Well, I don't know who's going to be writing her material.
And today we had the markets down most of the day. And then right in the last minute or minute and a half, the S&P ripped 10 points to the upside. To final get close to the zero line by the end of the day. So that's a good sign when you see at the end of the day markets moving up higher. It's a sign of one of two things, either shorts covering or buyers saying, you know, tomorrow's going to be a better day and buying into the idea that they're going to hold overnight.
Hmm.
And especially when you see that on a Friday. When you see that the markets are really moving up on a Friday at the end of the day, and people are willing to hold over the weekend, that's something to be said about that.
Okay.
Yep. China's still suffering. Their export numbers came in this week. We saw some more manufacturing numbers, and exports declined 1% year over year. There's an expectation of exports to increase by 2%. Imports fell 5.6% year over year. There's an expectation of a negative 6%. But this is why China has been so aggressive recently in their stimulus plans, reducing the RRR, the triple R rate, the required reserves for the banks.
Right.
And, you know, trying to put a and doing what they can to drop the yuan because they know they have a big problem.
How much more they can drop it?
Why not just keep going?
Take it to a penny.
They could drop it pretty significantly. I mean, there's other countries that have done so. But, of course, now they're labeled a currency manipulator. Bad boys that they are. Because nobody else does this. Nobody else manages their currency for the benefit of their economy, right? Unheard of.
Yeah, I've never heard of such a thing.
Just horrible people. Terrible. Should be sanctioned. But we are seeing this whole thing. You know, everybody's like, well, it's concentrated just in China. We're really putting all these tariffs in China. But I got to tell you. This whole China thing is really spreading throughout the entire Asian region. We saw the Bank of Korea come out with a comment that their GDP will fall at a faster rate than previously expected. They're blaming it on listen to this, the decreased number of eligible workers as the country's population ages.
This doesn't happen overnight.
No. They wake up and, wow, look at all the old people. What happened?
Everybody's old.
What happened?
Like a Twilight Zone episode.
I can't believe it. We didn't plan on this. Somehow we were off on our statistics. Fire everybody at the Statistics Central. But yeah, so we know this is happening. We know that, you know, the aging population situation is not only a problem in Asia, but it's a problem here too in the United States.
Yeah.
And if you really think about it for a second, right? Aren't we just tracking along exactly the path that Japan has gone through, but they did it earlier?
You mean you're talking about the big collapse of the Japanese economy, what, 1990?
Well, maybe not the collapse necessarily, but the aging population situation, they have low unemployment there as well. The dropping of the yields because they got to continually stimulate the economy, eventually getting so engrossed in stimulation that they go and have nothing else to buy. So they start buying real estate and they start buying stocks in the Japanese markets right on the open market to prop up the markets, to keep the wealth effect going. And it seems like we're going exactly on that path. And what's really fascinating to me, which I never really understood, is we see how it hasn't really helped anything over there, but everybody's following along.
Yeah. Yeah, it hasn't done anything. It's a lousy path, but they take it anyway. Well, at least we know it's been tried and true.
I guess, you know, the only thing I could think about is that the thinking is that it maybe isn't helping, but who knows if we didn't do this, what it would be like.
Yes, that's the old, that's the excuse you use when you, for example, and I can see it being a valid excuse. I mean, when we did all the quantitative easing, we could have gone into a depression, a horrible situation, and it seemed to have pushed it off. So, but how do you know it wouldn't have been the same if you didn't do anything?
Right.
But they're not let some of these guys just go out of business and let the whole thing shake out. That would have been the way to go, but nobody wants to do that because it's too painful.
Much too painful. Nobody's going to do that. They're just not going to. Unfortunately, they're not going to allow any pain. No pain's allowed to be felt. Even
right.
And you know,
it's a pain-free zone.
Right, but you know, it's the old forest, you know, the old comparison to an overgrown forest, where you have an overgrown forest or even a population of animals that are going through and just eating everything in sight, and they're breeding and they're having more, and there's more animals, and it's to a point that you have to cull the animals. I mean, we don't cull humans, but you know, that I guess we could just have as many as possible here and no problem. But it's with the same thing with a forest. You know, you burn it down sometimes so that it grows anew, but they won't let that happen. No burning the forest.
Well, if it really starts to catch on fire bad, there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah. In Hong Kong, last little piece, actually one or two more pieces on Asia, but in Hong Kong, the number of tourists that were visiting the city, as you would expect, has suffered a significant drop, the biggest drop on record in August.
It's supposed to be, right now, if you can get in there without getting beat up by the cops, but you can actually get into town, the hotel rates are so low.
Oh.
You can get into the Mandarin Oriental, probably one of the greatest hotels in the world, or the there's a couple of really massively great hotels, but the Mandarin Oriental's always been a favorite of mine. And it's never been expensive, but now it's just, you might as well just be giving the rooms away.
That's interesting. But yeah, again, you do have to,
or something like that, for a killer room.
You do have to probably stay in your hotel the whole time.
No.
Well, do we have to bring an umbrella?
You're not going to be in the riots. Those riots are all in specific. I mean, it's not like the entire city is covered with rioters, and they're not really rioters, they're protesters. Let's get that straight. No, you can get around. There's stuff to do.
Has anybody been talking about?
If I had some time, I'd just go to Hong Kong right now, and I'm sure I could get through, I could manage my way. To the hotel and then have a pretty good time.
So what are you doing that you're so busy that you can't do this?
I have to do this podcast and the other podcast. No, and then there's
Yeah. Because they don't have internet over
car
there.
Car smogged. And
Adam travels and he takes his kit with him.
Adam travels, yeah, but his travels are all pretty definable. He won't take just a crazy trip to Hong Kong out of the blue.
Yeah.
I bet you I can get a good price on the airfare, too, if now that I think about it.
I would think. So the drop in the rate of tourists has been compared to the drop in tourism since the SARS outbreak. It's the worst since the SARS outbreak.
Yeah, the SARS really hurt the town.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, the South China Morning Post came out with an article or piece today that said, as part of the discussions, China has offered to buy American products in exchange for a delay in a series of U.S. tariffs, an easing of the supply ban against Chinese telecom giant Huawei. They said that they will also offer more market access, better protection for intellectual property, and to cut excess industrial capacity, but would be more reluctant to compromise on subsidies, industrial policy, and reform of state-owned enterprises. I think we got to stay out of the reform of state-owned enterprises. That's just stupid. There's no reason for us to get involved in how they manage their companies and their country's companies.
No, I agree.
That's just ridiculous. Nobody, if they really press that item, I think it's a losing proposition.
I agree. And I think that there's already rules set up based on the WTO that cover all this anyway. So if they're violating some WTO regulation, that's a different story.
Right. But now we're buying soybeans again. The big thing is soybeans. Everybody's excited about the buying of soybeans.
We grow too many soybeans in this country.
Soybeans. Got to sell the soybeans.
Yeah. We've been dependent on growing soybeans. And most of them are genetically modified. They're used for oils. They have all kinds of issues. I don't even like soy-based products unless it's something that's been long fermented in China at a soy sauce factory.
Look at everything you consume that is in a bottle. It has some kind of soy something or other in there.
Yeah, I refuse to buy these products.
Soy lecithin. And in news today in Washington, President Trump finally went back to The Apprentice and he was able to say, "You're fired." President Trump fires National Security Advisor John Bolton.
Nobody's crying over that firing.
No,
nobody liked that guy.
He's not a likable fella. First of all, he looks like he's angry and he looks like he's constipated all the time.
Yeah.
Looks like he has a bad stomach or something. You know, he's always and he was also angry. He was a very angry fella. Wasn't he?
Well, he seems so. Yeah. I don't know why this guy got so high in the hierarchy in the first place.
And he was there for plenty of time. He was there for a long time.
Yeah.
So the tweet from President Trump said, "I informed John Bolton last night that his services are no longer needed at the White House. I disagreed strongly with many of his suggestions, and as did others in the administration, and therefore I've asked John for his resignation, which was given to me this morning. I thank John very much for his service. I will be naming a new national security advisor next week." Now, what happened with that? Here's what's really interesting. So we know that John Bolton was very much, he was very strong in his beliefs that we can't negotiate with, of course, terrorists, and the Middle East was a big issue. And he was one of the people that was, I believe, crafted much of the whole Iran is bad, let's sanction them, let's keep the sanctions on. Oh my God, they are enriching uranium, their nuclear powers, their centrifuges, you know, all the stuff that he really pushed up. And when this announcement happened, the knee-jerk reaction was that oil dropped significantly.
That's funny.
And the reason for that is that the theory the markets had was, well, if he's out, there is potentially more opportunity for a peace accord or at least some discussion and maybe sanctions being lowered, thereby allowing for oil to be purchased by others – from Iran.
Yeah, push the Iranian oil into the market and lower the price.
Right.
That's a logical conclusion.
So
we saw although there's not one iota of evidence that anything like that's going to happen. But okay, wishful thinking. Don't forget that Bolton was also much against the North Korea detente and probably did everything he could to sabotage it.
And he also possibly sabotaged the secret who knows what meeting with the Taliban, which I'm sure you're talking about on No Agenda.
Probably not too much.
Really?
There's not enough. Well, I mean, we do news deconstruction. There's not a lot of news that we can deconstruct regarding that.
There's no news deconstruction about a secret meeting that nobody knew about with terrorists on American soil. You got to be kidding me.
Well, point me to a couple stories.
Well, I'll have to find some that were out there, but it seems to me very odd that we had this thing in the first place that would be in Camp David, that would allow the Taliban, who were actively fighting to...
I don't know how they got into the country, to be honest about it.
That's what I'm talking about. This whole thing is very weird. And then it's gone. So it would have been better off not even saying anything about the secret meeting that didn't happen that was canceled. If nobody knew about any of this. Because, of course, it was just a flare factor for CNN. I mean, if Trump sneezes, it's a flare factor for CNN, right?
CNN's the worst.
Yeah, they got... The other problem, I think I've mentioned this. The other problem is with CNN is... Not only are they bad and they're getting worse, but there is a direct correlation to how bad they are to the amount of commercials they have. It's incredible trying to watch that. Anytime you put CNN on randomly, there's a commercial.
Yeah.
And it's usually one of those 3-minute or 4-minute commercials about some drug, Humira, solving every problem that you could possibly have. All right, back here in the U.S., we did see that the manufacturing number on the ISM came in and dropped below 50 last week. I don't know if we talked about that. But services remain strong. So this is the really weird thing that's happening in the global economy, that we're seeing manufacturing PMIs or manufacturing indices contract and get well below the 50 level. We see this in China. We see this in Japan. We see this in Europe. Germany is really in bad shape. And now it's come home here. Again, this is some of this concept of we bought a lot, bulked up our inventories because we were trying to stay away from the tariffs and possibly we did too much. But what's interesting is the other thing that has been consistent around the world also has been that the service sector has been holding up pretty well. So there's a chart here on dhunplugged.com for episode number 472 on the show notes that you'll see as soon as this is posted. And you'll notice there's two lines there. We've been looking at this one line, which is the drop below 50 for the manufacturing. But look at the services. Services picked up.
Yeah, it's actually going up.
Yeah, picked up a little bit. So pretty good. I think it topped out at about 62. And right now it's about 56 and a half, I think it is, which was a lot better than expected. So that's good. I mean, that sector, that's why we saw the run up, some of these restaurant stocks running up like crazy over the last however long it is. It seems like people are eating out a lot more, although they got hurt today. A lot of the go-go restaurants like Chipotle got smoked today. Chipotle. It was actually Chipotle and Starbucks. There was some kind of legal action against them today, both companies, some kind of antitrust or something, or some kind of
I don't know
weird thing. I didn't get that. A follow-up on the Apple Card, and we have a lot to talk about with Apple. So Apple may be warning owners of its new titanium card that you don't want to store it, of course, in a leather case because it can permanently discolor it. That's something we've talked about. But it seems that a lot of people are getting crafty.
Is it going to permanently discolor your leather, or is it going to discolor the card?
The card, because it's an all white finish.
It's titanium. Is it actually titanium? Do we know that?
I believe it's titanium underneath the white overlay.
Ah.
So what's happening now is
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Why would you use titanium? Well, there's a lot of different metals you could use that are strong. If you're going to coat it with some white coating or whatever the coating is, I haven't seen one of these cards. I'm titanium is kind of attractive by itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice gray,
shiny.
Yeah, let me see if I can find some images here. Yeah, it's white, white-ish. Actually, some they look kind of titanium here.
So you can't carry the card in your wallet. Great.
But what's happening is a bunch of savvy do-it-yourselfers are taking these machines, and they are, what are they doing here? They're like, they're using these etch machines, and they're scratching the surface, taking off the entire polish back to bare metal.
Yeah.
And they're also taking machines, I forgot what these machines are called, but what they do is they just etch it a bit, and they make like designs on the card.
Ooh, neat.
So they're all excited about that. So I don't know.
Everyone's got to be excited.
Yeah, everybody's very excited. Now, is this purposeful or is it just a...
It's just decorative.
So people are just doing this on their own because if as long as you don't damage the chip.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Mm-hmm. Apple is...
In fact, I think that one solution to the card being discolored by the wallet is to just spray it with some shellac. Or one of those polymers that you get at Tap Plastics. You know, you just coat the card with something else. And now it's got a coating on the outside that can be removed later. Because the chip is induction, so it doesn't really, you can put a coating over. It's not going to really keep it from transmitting the data.
But I don't understand. I still don't understand why there's a white coating on a beautiful titanium card. I mean, people wear titanium rings. Have you heard the stories about this? That people get these plain titanium rings for their wedding bands.
Yeah.
And it's become a problem.
Why? Like,
well, I think Jimmy Kimmel has
titanium poisoning.
Not Jimmy Kimmel, but what's the guy that does the Tonight Show?
Fallon.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. So Jimmy Fallon, if you look, I think this is a story, and I'll probably be corrected about this, but if you watch his show, he has this really weird finger thing going on. His left hand, his ring finger, is bent up and red. It's really horrible looking. Okay, he talks with his hand, so it's right in front of the camera all the time. And it seems that there's a warning that's being put out that if you wear a titanium wedding band, be aware that if you break your finger or cause damage to the finger, the ability to cut through that in the ER is very hard to do, to get the ring off. So what's happened is that people have their finger has swollen up, and they can't get this titanium ring off, thereby cutting off circulation.
Is titanium that tough that you can't use a bolt cutter or something to get that ring off?
It's pretty tough.
Huh. Well, that's a bad idea.
Yeah. So beware if you're wearing a titanium ring, the plain bands, that you could have a problem if your finger gets squashed in something and you have to get immediate emergency care.
Well, you could have etched in the titanium a little kind of breakaway grooves. This has been done with certain rings with people in certain professions, and they can't afford to have a ring that can't break away from their finger. So you have these little, it's kind of like these grooves that make the ring break.
Right.
Like
snap off and snap on. There's some of these rings that have these cool spacers so that when you put the ring on, you can actually open it up a little bit. A lot of women have that.
Right, yeah. Right. That's another thing you could do.
So some more on Apple.
That's a point right there. We could just crack through that.
Right.
Easy.
Right. Make a weak point in the whole thing. Apple is issuing another $7 billion worth of debt. Now, what are they going to do with this debt? Because they have 200 plus or however much exact debt
in cash,
cash on their books right now. So why are they issuing $7 billion of debt?
Yeah, you tell me.
First of all, because they can. Second of all, because interest rates are low. So what they do is, and you have to look at what their plans are. So you look at the prospectus, and their plans are to use the proceeds for general corporate purposes, including share buybacks, payments of dividends, and funding for working capital and acquisitions. The last two are meaningless. They just threw them in there for fun. But basically what they're doing is they're going to issue debt at a very low rate for a long period of time, utilize it to retire their stock and enable them to pay up higher dividend, because with less stock outstanding in the open market, you have to pay less dividends on it. So the dividend's kind of a freebie, and attracts people to their stock because they increase their dividend, and those that need yield are buying it, and they retire their debt, and they basically move the price of the stock up enough that who cares they have this debt? They'll pay it off with a quickie.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
As long as the market's going up, these plans always work.
Always work. Yep. All right. Did you watch the Apple event today?
No, I missed it. I meant to watch it. I'm going to have to watch it in replay.
Well, good news is here. We have the highlights.
And here are the highlights?
I wrote the highlights. I watched it and I wrote the highlights out.
Okay.
So this big product event today, and they came out and everybody was all excited. And what are they going to tell us about? It's going to be about the TV or the watch or the iPad or the Macs or what's happening? Well, the first thing they do is come to the stage and they talk about Apple Games, the new subscription service they have for all these really cool games that are playable, I guess, on the iPhone or the iPad. And they're these, you know, they call them immersive gaming with realistic.
Didn't they already announce this already?
Of course they did. Good point. But now they have a price tag and a date. It's going to be $4.99 a month. Not expensive.
It's only $60.
Yeah, so all you can consume.
Every year for the rest of $60 here, right. $60 there.
Then we have the Apple TV Plus. Apple TV Plus with original content. You got something called a series called C, which is this futuristic world with humans that don't have vision.
Yeah, they announced this already.
The morning show.
This is all old news. Old Are you news. Sure you watched the right presentation?
It is old news, but they did come out with a date and they came out with a price. The price is the interesting thing.
So they go through the whole rigmarole again just to roll out the price because they didn't know the price the first time they did this months and months ago?
Yeah, it was an idea in the incubator back then. To see how it would catch on, to see, you know, a trial balloon. Now they're going to do it.
$4.99.
$4.99 a month. That's a lot cheaper than expectations.
Yeah, so now you got another $60 a year. So the games and the thing, now you're up to $120 for the rest of your life.
Netflix stock dropped. Roku dropped. All the stocks in the media area, Disney dropped on this news that it was so much cheaper than expected.
Okay.
So then they announced the new 7th generation iPad with a 10.2-inch Retina display with 100% recycled aluminum. That's what got the biggest award. Yes. 100% recycled aluminum. Starting at $329. And with all the goody things you could do with it and multitasking and little keyboards that can be pinched and put aside so you could use your keyboard and do other things at the same time, like on the screen.
Sounds reasonable.
Apple Watch, they came out with all these life-saving stories with the health app with somebody who was not feeling well. They were wearing the watch. They fell down. The watch called the ambulance. The watch called the wife.
And they sure talked it about did.
The potential for exercise benefits, benefit of the Apple's iWatch on people's lives, health research benefits. The next generation Series 5 was announced, which has now an always-on display. So you don't have to pick your hand up and look over for the thing. You can just kind of glance at it, even if your hand is at your side. And it's a little bit dimmer, but you can see the time and maybe your text.
Well, I thought it was always on all the time anyway. Mm-hmm.
It would turn off.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, it would turn off.
I don't have one, obviously, so I would have known if I'd had one.
Yeah, and you'd have to, like, raise your hand a little bit or raise your arm and some kind of movement of it, and then you could see it. So they're like, well, now you're in a meeting and you can just glance over your watch without touching the screen or raising your wrist.
I wish they had big giant clocks on the wall in the meeting.
Much easier. Much easier. They're starting at $399 and $499. The Series 3 watch still remains available. I'm not sure what happens with the Series 4, where that went to, but the Series 3 watch remains available at $199. And then the big announcement, the iPhone. Introducing the iPhone 11.
Wow, that's a stunner.
Yep. Nothing like...
Caught me flat-footed.
Yeah, on schedule. Immersive sound. There's a new sound process where the whole iPhone kind of is a speaker. Whereas right now, I think it's just the top and the bottom. Mm. You know, it comes out of the earpiece and it comes out of the bottom. So you got this immersive sound. Then you have a wide camera now. There's three cameras on it. So there's a, actually some have two, some have three. There's a wide camera, which is a 12 megapixel, ultra wide camera, which is 12 megapixel. There's a new night mode to brighten people's photos and 4K at 60 frames per second video.
No, that's nice.
What's interesting is about that is, you know how much space 4K at 60 frames per second takes up, right?
Yeah.
They haven't increased the drive size.
Oh, it's no big deal. All you have to do is get a little card, one of those little mini micro cards, and stick it into the micro card slot holder, right?
Well, they can do that
and add that extra memory.
You're gonna say not a problem. You're gonna say that can't be done, right?
What?
You're gonna say that can't be done.
Well, as far as I know, it can't.
They have a new little device that will stick in the bottom in the lightning or whatever that
can. And it's about time.
Yep. Or of course you could sign up for their Apple iCloud and just put it all up on the cloud.
Oh yeah, that's another $4 a month.
Another $4 a month. Here's what I found really interesting when I dug deep into this. Take a look at this image, this graphic table that I put together. I didn't mention something. On top of the iPhone 11, there's now an iPhone 11 Pro. The first time they could actually say Pro to the high level.
What's Pro about it?
Well,
it's a phone.
I'm going to tell you. This is what's really interesting. There's some weird stuff about this. So what I laid out on this is a really important table to look at. I actually tweeted this earlier, but you got the iPhone 11 Pro on the left, iPhone 11, then the iPhone X, which is the last version, the one before the XS. So what I found really interesting was they went back to a LCD multi-touch display on the iPhone 11 base. You only get the Super Retina XDR OLED on the Pro. The iPhone X, a couple of series back, has the Super Retina display. Now, here's the difference. On the iPhone 11 Pro, you have an HDR display. On the iPhone X, you have the HDR display. On the iPhone 11, you don't. There's on the iPhone Pro, you have 2436 by 1125 pixel resolution at 458 PPI, the exact same as the iPhone X. If you buy the iPhone 11, you drop your resolution to 1792 by 828, even though there's a larger screen at 326 PPI. And the contrast ratio, because one is OLED and super high def retina, is 2 million to 1 contrast ratio on the iPhone 11 Pro. The iPhone X is 1 million to 1. The iPhone 11 is 1,400 to 1.
Yikes.
Brightness is also a little different. You only get 625 nits on the iPhone 11, 800 nits on the iPhone Pro 11. So kind of interesting.
That's because of the extra contrast ratio gives you more potential for brightness.
So,
you know, I have an OLED TV set, which I can't recommend them enough, even though they cost more. Because besides the fact that they have this ridiculous contrast ratio, which is like these numbers, and they have HDR built in, the thing that makes the OLED so superior to the LCD is that there is no there is an infinite viewing angle.
Yeah.
No matter where you can go right to the side of the thing, and because now you're just getting no information, but if you could see more, you'd be able to. There is no hang up wherever you are. You're seeing this pretty much the same exact screen.
And that's the whole point of a quality. And plus the blacks are better.
Oh, the blacks are killer.
The blacks are blacks, not grays.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. We have a lot more to cover here. So let's get going here. WeWork, the company is seeking a valuation of between $20 billion and $30 billion now, and it was well below its estimated price last week of $47 billion. I saw a number that was pretty amazing. They have guaranteed outlays for cost of properties they own of X amount of billions. I forgot the number, but it was $40 billion, some ridiculous amount of numbers, or whatever, some number. Let's just call it one. The variable income that they have on those is like 0.5. Like half of that, or less than half that, like 25% of that. No wonder why they're losing money hand over fist. So now the company is being valued about $20 billion, and they're trying to come out with an IPO. And SoftBank is all squawking because they put in a bunch of money recently at the $47 billion level.
Oh, so they think they got gypped.
Yeah. But we know something's really wrong with this company. The $4 billion debt deal that they put together recently, the amount of money lost that they have on this. WeWork is one recession away from bankruptcy. All you have to have is people out of work, not paying on their guaranteed leases that they need to pay. They're done.
Well, it's my daughter worked out of a WeWork office for some company or other, and she thought it was the best place ever. It's a very the company puts together a good product, but I guess they can't do it profitably.
That's the problem. That's exactly the problem. The Volfefe Index. Any ideas what that may be?
Has something to do with Covfefe and Volcker.
Volume, actually. So in an attempt to quantify the impact of Trump's tweets on the bond market, J.P. Morgan devised this Volfefe Index and analyzes how the president's tweets are influencing volatility in U.S. interest rates.
Hey, I think this is a great idea. Yeah.
So they found that the index named after Trump's infamous and still mysterious Covfefe tweet explains a measurable fraction of the moves in implied volatility for 2-year and 5-year treasuries. So now out about of 4,000 tweets that he has put out that are non-retweets during the market hours from 2018 to the present, only 146 of them move the market. And most of his tweets come around 12 p.m. with the 1 p.m. tweet roughly three times as likely to arrive at any other hour in the afternoon or evening. So I guess it's like he's finishing lunch maybe and says, okay, time to tweet, I guess.
I don't have no idea. I know he also tweets in sometimes like at 2 a.m.
Yeah, so he's, they're tracking this to find the volume. I don't know what the point of it is and where this will end up. They'll probably throw some kind of bizarre algo on this to run it. That as soon as he tweets at, let's say, 1 o'clock, they're going to short this or long that or do something.
Yeah. It's a work in progress.
Yeah. Facebook is launching a dating service. No. Now that's all you need is to have more information in the hands of Facebook.
Dating service.
Yeah. And it's going to be an optional service for Facebook and Instagram users. Said that the dating activity will not appear in their profile or newsfeed. However, they will be absorbing all the information to market something to you. Oh, you know, something like maybe somebody who has dated the same person 4 times and they're just going to dinner and not getting anything more. They'll sell them some kind of pheromones or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Not putting out.
Right. Got to get them some kind of a helping hand here, so to speak. 50 attorney state generals led by Texas have opened an investigation into Google's potential monopolistic behavior. The announcement follows one from a separate group of states Friday that disclosed an investigation into Facebook's market dominance. So these two probes were going to increase the antitrust scrutiny of these big trust companies. And on top of that, if that's not bad enough for these companies, all you're going to hear from the Democratic campaigns is to break these companies up. I don't think there's any Democrat that has any desire to keep these things as big as they are.
Well, I don't think anybody wants them as big as they are, and they would hopefully the market would just let them fall apart. But I don't know that it's a good idea necessarily, since these things have kind of been proven to be, I'd like to use the word corrupt insofar as, you know, manipulating the results. And so if you're going to be threatening them and you're going to be running for office, don't you think you're taking a kind of a risk?
Of course.
It's dumb.
You threaten Google and you really come at them hard, I'm sure your campaign is going to be low on the totem pole of search terms.
Yeah.
And they'll come back and say, well, they did that to us. Well, no, you did that to them. It's free market. Let's see a couple of things here. I want to cover this one point, then we'll move on because we have a lot more that we're going to have to save for next week. But trade policy uncertainty driven by the Trump administration's escalating dispute with China means hundreds of billions of dollars in lost U.S. output. We know about that. And the Fed is now estimating about $850 billion has been lost globally through the latter part of, or the latter part of this year into next year. So they said that its findings with regard to earnings calls and companies coming out with estimates and their trade policy uncertainty has shot up to levels not seen since the 1970s. Well, that makes sense because we really haven't had a trade war like this since the 70s, right? At this level.
So what was our trade war? We actually had, I don't know. I mean, when we had our little battle with the Arab states.
Yeah, the oil embargo and all that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were gasoline lines, and every other day you couldn't be on the road. You couldn't drive if your license plate ended with a 2. I mean, there was all these things that really aren't anything like what we're having today. I mean, everything seems to be pretty much the same. I mean, yeah, maybe farmers that grow soybeans, but I don't think the public at large is very affected.
We had 2 cars in my family back in the 70s, and my dad would swap license plates so he could use one car versus the other and fill the car up with gas.
Yeah.
One was odd, one was even.
Yeah. You had to do that stuff.
Oh, I have some funny stories about that too. One day we'll talk about that. So now that the Fed has concluded that globally and in the United States, the impact is around 1% to GDP from this trade war. Hmm. We're going to skip over this section right here, which is about AT&T, what's going on there. I'll mention to you, and this is a serious note for everybody listening, that we've talked about this before, and we know about the things that we have to pay for, the things that we do here. We are officially out of extra large shirts as of this week, and we have to do another order. Everybody loves the shirts as they are. We're not going to change necessarily the logo and the design on it or the color, but we need your help because we need you to donate to help that cause. This week in particular is really important to get that T-shirt fund.
And also to pay for that gear that you had to get so people can listen in the chat room.
That's correct. Anybody that was whining and crying.
About hissing.
Right. Rightfully so in the chat room. It's time to just stop whatever you're doing, open up another browser window, and give a couple of bucks to pay for the audio input device that we're using now on the chat room that I know is giving us a lot better sound because I tested it and I heard it on the stream myself. But if you are inclined to do so and you want to participate, be a part of what we're doing here that we've been doing for over 10 years, keeping it strong, keeping it going. We need your help right now to fund the T-shirt fund. $25 a person would be just fine to get us to the level. They're not cheap, these T-shirts. So please do us a favor and give us that donation. You can go over to dhunplugged.com and click on the donate button anywhere. You'll get a personal thank you note from us and all that. So we'll say thank you in advance because we know you're going to help us out this week. If not, you're going to feel really lousy for the rest of the week. I guarantee it. You're going to be like, I should have given. What kind of a heel am I listening and not giving? All right. The close to the pin. Remember we had the close to the pin for gold for the ETF that holds gold shares and it's been moving up dramatically, right? You know who won this week?
Who?
Me.
Oh, you've won before.
I have won before, but I was really close. And I put my price guess in on the day it was announced. So I was 2 weeks in advance. I didn't do anything like wait till the last minute or something like that. I put it all the way back then. But I came in 16 cents off of the actual price, 0.11%. But the winner from the listeners was Frank. Is that how you pronounce that?
It looks like it. Frantic.
So Frantic won, and we had a lot of people who hadn't been anywhere close before. As a matter of fact, I put up a tweet that Dame Tanya was in the lead for a little while there, and then it kind of collapsed the last day, so that was not very good. But anyway, Frank won. We'll send him the last extra large T-shirt. The runner-up was Leonard B. He was off by 46 cents. And overall, entirely, the average price was $145.82, so that was pretty far off.
Yeah.
It was about 2% or so. So there you go. We'll have another one shortly. And let's get to the next part of the show here. Part of the show. Peloton. You have a Peloton, right?
Do I have a Peloton?
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
You'd know if you did. Do you know what a Peloton is?
No.
Oh.
I think I do. I think I know what it is, but I don't know. Right at the moment, it's eluding me.
It's one of the things they have is a bicycle. It's a spin bike.
Oh.
And yeah. It has, you buy it for like $2,200.
All right. This is the one, and you go camping and you're spinning with a bunch of neighbors.
But,
and you're
but online.
With some guy from Germany. And yeah, you're,
right. It's all through an online screen.
Yeah,
that's in front of you.
Online screen stuff. Yeah.
So the Peloton is now going public. Why not? Everybody does. No matter how much they win, how much they don't, you know. Peloton's coming with a price range of 26 to 29 per share for 40 million shares. I think that's going to be, about $1.2 billion they're looking to bring in, which will be good because they're losing money pretty well. So there you go. Sad day. How sad is this? John Barkow has announced he will stand down as the Speaker of the House of Commons on the Brexit deadline of October 31st. If he was not the most entertaining fellow ever, didn't you love watching him?
Yeah, he's actually pretty entertaining, the way he yells and screams and makes up jokes.
And the way his whole, between his accent and his whole sing-songiness in his speech and how he does it and kind of slaps you in the face, but it's kind of funny to watch.
So apparently he's not going to necessarily quit. He's going to stand down if the MPs don't vote for a general election.
Right. But he did promise his family, he said, that he's going to leave after. I think he's in there 10 years now.
Yeah, he's been there too long, actually.
Mm-hmm. Even though now Bolton is gone, last week Iran said that they are trying to enrich uranium beyond the 20% level that they were supposed to. And they're starting to lift their limitations on a research and development imposed by the deal. So I don't understand how the harsh words that we had for them when President Trump came into power, you know, you do that, you know, we'll rain down in your parade or whatever they said. Because now they're breaking the deal and they're enriching more uranium. Isn't that a direct link that
yeah,
to
I think it's a breaking the deal? They're douchebags the way I see it.
Yep. And finally in this section, ding-a-ling. You know, a lot of people have these Ring doorbells and they have these video doorbells. This was
my wife, we have one at one of our houses.
It's great. It's a great device. That was a Shark Tank. You know, he was on Shark Tank. I don't know if you know that. He was on Shark Tank with this and they threw him off. They said,
That would be Shark Tank, yeah.
What does anybody want that? And then it was
geniuses.
and by the way, Kevin O'Leary's in trouble. You know that, right?
Yeah. Something.
he was on a boat late at night on a lake and supposedly hit another boat and killed somebody.
Oh, I didn't know he killed somebody.
Yeah, and I think his wife was supposedly driving. We're not quite sure what the story is, and there was a story that
he left
the scene of the crime, and it was very weird, murky story.
Yeah, well.
But
foibles of the rich.
But this Ring doorbell is pretty good. After it was thrown off Shark Tank, it grew up, and then Amazon bought him for $1 billion.
Yeah.
So U.S. Democratic Senator Edward Markey, he's raising concerns last week that law enforcement, their use of their Ring doorbell in the investigations, law enforcement investigations, could disproportionately affect people of color and encourage racial profiling.
How's that?
How
specifically would that be?
He said that sharing information from Ring's at-home camera systems with police departments could easily create a surveillance network that places a dangerous burden on people of color and stoke racial anxieties in communities it works with law enforcement. Now, I will tell you.
What?
I will tell you. Let me tell you something. So when you get the Ring doorbell, you get the device on your iPhone, and you can control it and see things. You can answer the doorbell. You can put an alarm on, put a light on, all this good stuff. I have one at the boat, which automatically detects motion. You can put the light automatically goes on. The front doorbell and all this stuff is connected also. And with that app, you have a neighborhood area that you are kind of part of. Call it
But isn't it opt-in, though? You're only part of it if you join?
I don't know. I don't know if I joined, but maybe I could probably stop this if I wanted to.
I believe you can.
Okay. Well, for whatever reason, I didn't stop it because it doesn't come that often, but they started to come all of a sudden. Now we're getting, does anybody know who this guy is? 3:30 in the morning, he passed by my house. And this guy came up to my door. And you show the video of the guy. This guy was in my, I mean, back in the day, you could cross through somebody's yard to go to somewhere else. Obviously, if somebody's trying to jimmy your door, that's another story entirely. But I saw these people looking at my car. And you get these videos. And overwhelmingly, it seems to be black people are in those videos. Now, I'm not saying, let me be clear about this. I'm not saying that I am the one that is saying, well, it's black people doing all this stuff. No, they're saying this. I'm not saying this. And it seems there is a disproportionate amount of people that are putting this stuff up. And I think that what they're saying is that maybe the racial anxieties from, I don't know. I don't know what the story is. It's very weird. I actually have been actively replying back to them lately.
To who?
To the people that are posting these things.
Oh.
I just have a very simple line. I said, get a life. That's what I've been saying. Get a life. These people are insane. Somebody walks by your house. Who cares? Doesn't matter what. And why are you looking at your video feeds all the time? You have nothing to do? I mean, it's just the people are crazy.
Well, that's a fact.
All right, let's take a look at the next part of our repertoire. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. All right, so let's take a look at what we got here. There's something very interesting and very clearly identifiable about this list. Do you see it?
Yeah, everything without exception is green. We're in the money on every single pick.
Yeah, yeah, it's a machaya. It's amazing. Couple things came off. Church and Dwight came off the list. Up 13.7%.
Yeah, there's still the gain.
Yeah, it was good. From February. Kinder Morgan's up 5.5%. Aerojet Rocketdyne up 45%, down from its 52 level that it was last week. Summit Shares Bank's up 1.25%. The short on Netflix is up 21.37%.
Yep, you're the new Netflix guy.
Yep, but you look at you on the Dish, up 16% on Dish, which is really interesting because all these companies dropped today, but Dish was up 2.29%.
Makes you wonder.
Yep.
Somebody knew something. That's the reason I picked it, because it was a combination of both the crazy chart and insiders buying.
Right. Planet Fitness, the short that I picked due to the fact that people are getting the Pelotons and the chart droop, which was my main issue. The short is up 5%, and it was actually up a little bit more, but today the stock came up a little bit. Symantec up 2.3%. Wyndham Hotels, the theory was, hey, Hong Kong tourism coming back. Well, it's not, but anyway, it's up 7%. And Red Rock Resorts up 10%. I have one pick this week, and that is Zoom Video Communications. You know, the Zoom meetings.
Stock. I don't know anything. Yeah. Oh, you know, right. Yeah.
You know, like GoToMeeting. Everybody's using them. And a lot of people are really, they do a lot of white labeling for other companies and wrap it up into their product. They have a really decent product. I use them actually. I subscribe, but I think that Zoom is pretty good.
It's pretty expensive stock.
Well, it was a lot more expensive. That's why I'm buying it here for a quick bounce. Don't forget, this is a trade. This is the whole point of this is more of a trading discussion. It dropped down to 77, which was my buy price, is where I want to buy it for a bounce. I think it could probably move back up if this oversold condition moves up. But, you know, they had a decent report, but not great. There's some concern about their recent earnings. And the stock came down from, I think it was 95 or 98, down to 77. but pretty good stuff. Anything for you?
Yes, I do.
What do you have?
And it's one of these stocks I would probably never pick if it wasn't for some very noticeable insider buying, and it's At Home Group.
H-O-M-E.
H-O-M-E. And this is not a this is a...
It's a Chinese company.
Yeah, and for some reason, it's fallen down in the bad times to eight bucks, down from 30-something, 35, 36. And this has got some insider action, so I figure, well, yeah, let's go with this. All right. Give it a shot.
At Home Group for insider.
By the way, it's not the only home furnishings play that has been subject to a lot of insider buying. I have no idea why. Do people think they're going to be buying a lot of home furnishings? Is there something going on? Is there going to be a big merger thing going on? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But they all seem to be picking up, although they're all depressed. So maybe it's just bottom feeding.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Well, we are going to call it a close, and I will. Don't forget to donate for the shirts and help us out. We really need you. We're reaching out, and we're going to close it right here.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you on next Tuesday.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.